Welcome to the Pazzo's Podcast. I am Josh, joined by Kevin and Jason today.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
How's it going?
I'm enjoying myself. I have had a few of these Transylvania triples, so I'm already warning you guys. So today may be a little bit wacky.
It's a
sneaker.
I had
to get the glasses, man. I was really excited about the glasses. And, I was excited to taste it, and it is fantastic. I'm really, really stoked. We've got Brady here from West 6. He's going to be joining us here in a little bit, and we're going to talk beer. So, everybody, how are you guys doing, just in general?
Slightly better than average. I mean, this triple, I mean, it's a sneaker. It's creeped up and just kind of grabbed me by the knockers a little bit. It's a good one. I came in here kind of late, and I figured, well, I have to get into beer. I've got to get in some food, and all of a sudden, I'm half drunk with you guys, so this is going to be a terrible podcast. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, well, while you're half drunk, I'm three quarters.
Oh, no.
So I may have to call a taxi to come and get me after this one.
Lightweights.
We'll get it.
Yeah, lightweights.
Lightweights, all right. But, guys, we've got a few different things on the list for today. We're going to be talking about grilling pairings. That should be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking
fun.
Sours versus
Wild Ales,
yes.
A lot of people confuse the two, so we're going to explain it all.
And actually, Victory just put out a Wild Ale that's available here right now.
Absolutely.
And it's a pretty good one.
It's a sneaker as well.
So, all right, with no further ado, we are going to talk to Brady right now about the Transylvania Triple.
Brady, how you doing, kind sir?
Doing great, how are you?
Doing well.
Brady, tell us about this beer, just in general.
So, in general, we started, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary, a couple of weeks ago. Whenever we were pretty young, we decided to brew a triple. And the interesting thing about it was, at the time, whenever we were first launching it, we didn't have a name for the beer. So, we crowdsourced the name out on Facebook. And, of course, it's about 9.8% Belgian style. Just a really tasty, good beer for the spring. But we didn't have a name for the beer. And so we put it out on Facebook and said, use your alliteration, use your creativity, whatever you want to use it for. And Transylvania was one of the final three, and we put up to a final vote. And Transylvania was the ultimate name of the beer. So at the time, we were kind of like, well, we'll name it Transylvania Triple because, Transy is two blocks away from us.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting. At the time, we had like four beers on tap besides it. So, it wasn't like we had any aspirations to distribute it,
Yeah, you guys have, you latched onto that triple style kind of early on, and we've seen reiterations of this beer early on when you guys were, just a couple of months old. So you guys have been enamored by those Abbey-style triples and Abbey-style beers ever since. You guys put out a lot of those, but you've recently put this one in cans. Why did you decide to put this beer in a can versus some other beers you guys want? Because this is, we're leaving the springtime. And for me personally, whenever I think about Belgian triples or any kind of Belgian-like colored beers, they have the fruit profile, they have the spice profile that just resonates spring to me. And so does that have anything to do with it? Do you guys have a deeper meaning other than something that just seems like it's springy?
The timing was just right for it. There were a couple of things that were going on. One, we wanted to do another high-gravity seasonal because we've had our Heller Heaven, we've had our Snake Eyes. It felt like the right time to release another high-gravity seasonal. It was springtime. It also was very well coordinated with Transy's alumni weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to them, and they were great to work with. They basically said, okay, we're going to – we'll support you all putting this in distribution. We'll coordinate it with their alumni weekend, and it's been a rousing success. It's been fantastic. But the other thing is, it's just a good beer, and it's one of the more popular beers in the tap room.
It's such a friendly flavor profile because when we talk about Belgian ales, we're talking about an ale that has a little bit more acidity to it, maybe than your typical porter or IPA or something else like that. But it's not a sour ale by any measure of the imagination. But we are talking about, you know, a beer that has a natural yeast profile that's built around a balance between spice and fruit.
Yep.
The fruit flavors I'm getting in this beer is actually kind of wonderful. It's actually, it ranges from apple to lemon to pear and even some, you know, papaya characteristics really come through. It's very exotic and some of those sort of tropical fruit flavors. Those are subdued, but the citrus and the apple really comes through strong. But you know what? That spice balance doesn't back down. Yep. It's a little bit of a cumin. It's a little bit of vanilla. There's a little bit of white pepper. And the alcohol spice really comes through pretty soundly. And what I really like also is that these Belgian beers, that playful acidity that plays on the background comes across a little bit wine-like. It has a little bit of a zest of like a white wine would.
Yep.
So people like white wines might find this beer extremely friendly, especially
totally
when the alcohol content is hovering around, what, is it 9% alcohol?
9.8, yep.
9.8, ooh. So, yeah, dangerously smooth, folks. I mean, this thing is, when you sip this beer, you think it's going to be kind of a lawnmower beer, something you want to come in with and quench a thirst and really take one down. You can do that, but you're going to find yourself on the floor relatively quick. Is that right?
you'll be mowing the driveway.
Yeah, dangerously.
Be mowing the roof. You'll be mowing everything.
Yeah, you'll be mowing everything.
Mowing the neighbor's kids. You got to be careful.
Yeah, dangerously smooth is probably the best description of it that I can even come up with, because, I mean, the first time I tasted it, I was like, this can't be 9.8. There's no way. And then when
it's not boozy at all.
Yeah, when you stand up, you're just like, oh, it's definitely 9.8.
Yeah.
I can feel all 9.8 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I really can. Yeah.
Yep, exactly right. And you know, it's just one of our favorite beers, and we've always, for the last 2 years, we've aspired to can it, but we've never found just the perfect time to do so. So everything aligned. You know, we put out a special glass for it, which Pazos has tonight for the pint night.
We have those at the Beer Trap now also.
Oh, good.
And also, how far reaching can you find this beer? If you're in Lexington, like what towns can you find this beer in? Is it statewide, or is it more regionalized to Lexington?
It'll eventually be statewide, but it's rolling out in Lexington and Louisville first, and then Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati. But you'll be able to pick it up in other locations as well. And it's
from
not going
to Paducah. Is that how we're going to do it?
That's what we're going to try for.
Go ahead.
You know, it's definitely a lot of that. Whenever you're putting out a limited release beer, a lot of it comes down to, you know, whenever you first launch it, how much of it sells really quickly. But our goal is to get it out to all the communities. You know, we're going to have it in distribution for a couple months.
Good. So you guys are going to do multiple batches?
We're doing multiple batches of it.
Responding to the demand that the beer kind of shows on the marketplace, I guess.
We are. And so whenever we first brewed this beer, we brewed it on our 15-barrel system. And so, you know, anytime, it's kind of the devil is the details. Whenever you roll something from 15 to 40, and we put it on our 40-barrel system, and I came in one day to work, and they had just tasted the beer off the 40-barrel system. And Robin was sitting there, and he was all grinning from ear to ear. And I'm like, what are you grinning about? He's like, we just tasted the triple off the 40-barrel system, and it's actually gotten a little bit better. So,
and you know what's crazy about that? Most people don't even people this in the brewing world don't know this, but the size and the shape of your fermenters, in other words, whenever that beer's been finished brewed, now you cool that stuff down, you add your yeast, and you put it basically in this big tank to kind of let it ferment.
Yep.
Things change. And when it comes to Belgian yeast, the kind of yeast you use to make Belgian beer, it's very temperamental. It responds to pressure. And so if you put it in a very shallow fermenter, in other words, like a cool ship, it ends up being fruitier. But if you put it in the taller, more cylindrical kind of ferment and let that pressure kind of sit on the yeast a little bit more weightily, then it comes across a little bit more spicy. Most people don't kind of realize that. So, yeah, when you scale from one vessel to the other, there's a different pressure applied to the yeast. And German wheat beer, it's very temperamental to that, but so are Belgian beers. And so it's kind of funny. So a brewer can actually change the profile of their fruit, of their beer, based on what shape and size their vessel they ferment in is. And so that's really kind of crazy. So if he scaled up to a larger vessel, it's probably taller, not wider.
Yep.
So it ended up being a spicier beer. It probably brought that fruit and that spice into probably a balance that he probably preferred. And if he likes it, you know we're all going to like it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, he was really happy with it. So. We're really excited about it, and everything's the launch has gone really well, and we're looking forward to having it around for a while.
Brady, we appreciate you coming on and talking to us about the Transylvania Triple. We are loving it. I mean, I specifically am loving it right
good.
Now. But we really thank you for coming on. We'd love to have you on for future episodes and stuff, talk about different things, whatever you guys have under hat, and would love to see you in the future.
Definitely reach out to us, and we'd love to come on again.
All right, thanks, Brady.
Thank you.
So, Kevin, as we further on to this, Jason's getting ready to put on his headset. We want to talk about grilling season. You know, it's April. Things are starting to heat up around the grill. I know I've already got my charcoal grill out, and I am really enjoying the weather right now. What would you guys say as far as pairings go for some grill foods? Like, let's say hamburgers, let's say steaks.
One of the best parts about grilling out is not necessarily the meat that you're grilling out, but what's applied to that meat, which, in other words, is those lines. Those lines mean flavor. In other words, where the meat sets on the grill or the vegetable sets on the grill, there's a line that forms right there. And so it becomes a very savory. It becomes really the dominant flavor that you're tasting right there. So whenever it comes to those kind of flavors, I naturally gravitate toward other beers that have a little bit of a toastier edge to them, too, even though they may be very drinkable.
Yeah, brown ales.
Yeah, if I'm thinking like cheeseburgers or something like that, I'm thinking about either a Doppelbock, we talked about it a couple podcasts ago, or we're talking about like a Dogfish Head. They have the Indian Brown Ale that has some really toasted counterparts and doing something real well like that. But those melanoidins that's created on those meats and on those vegetables really mean something to flavor. So Jason, he's the guru whenever it comes to this. We'll let him talk about what charring, you know, does to the food and why beer gravitates toward that.
Let's hear it, Jason.
Well, it all depends on what you're grilling, I think. When I'm talking about steak, one of the classic combinations for steak is red wine. So I'm going to I like the sort of flavors from red wine in beer that match really well with steak, too. So I'm going to go with like a Flanders Red or something with a lot of umami, something that's going to match really nicely with that steak. And especially if it's a fatty steak like a ribeye or something like that crisp sour is going to cut through all that fat. It's going to be a really nice pairing there. If you're going with something like a burger or something really spicy that's grilled, I like something really high in carbonation, something that's really crisp, something that's got like clean, you know, notes that are going to I like really citrusy beers with those also.
Right.
Stuff like the Tangerine Hot Nosh or, you know, something like that is also going to give you that fruity sort of bright flavor from that's the counterpoint to all that richness that you get from the fat on the grilled items.
Right. He mentioned Flanders Reds and ribeyes. Those work fantastic. If you want to reach for that red wine, that's fine. But if you want a beer counterpart, that Flanders Red, like a Rodenbach Grand Cru, that's going to do exactly the same thing.
It's such
a great beer. Yeah, it's so good. It has an acidity that really cuts through those fats. It does really, really well. But the toasted cherries and the oak kind of characters comes through there. It matches the flavor of the meat perfectly. And you do get that lift of carbonation that scrubs the fats off the palate. Makes sure every bite of the food is as plentiful and as fresh as the first. It does a really remarkable job.
When you're talking about grill, too, you got to talk about barbecue. And anytime you go with barbecue, anytime you talk about barbecue, you want something crisp, carbonated, something that's going to go with that spice. I like any of the really highly carbonated stuff like Pilsners and Lagers, stuff like that. That Day Slayer from Stone is absolutely going to pair well.
Yeah, for the tangy barbecue sauce, I can see that working. But if it's a heavy smoked, we get that big bark on the outside of that thing. If you want to go smoked meat, like that kind of barbecue, I'd almost go with the stout. And the more the char is, the heavier the stout. I don't shy away from those flavors at all.
You mentioned that Day Slayer. You know, I'm one of these guys that really, I've strayed away from Pilsners since I've started drinking a lot of craft beers. I think it's maybe because anytime I'm offered a Pilsner, it's probably like a Miller or something like that. But I tried the Day Slayer today. Jason poured me a little bit of that. And, man, I really was impressed with
that. It changed your life, didn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
The thing. I think a lot of people shy away from lagers because it's the thing they're most familiar with. So whenever you take a fancy toward craft beer, you're enamored by the things you haven't had before. And it's easy to forget about those lagers. Now, a lot of lagers are not particularly well made, but you know what? Some of these craft brewers come out with some that actually are really, really good, and they're strong enough they can compete with some of these foods. My wife's a vegetarian. We grill out a lot of zucchinis and a lot of asparagus and things like that. Guess what I do? I take a lager like that and I put in a spray bottle and I start to spritz those vegetables, kind of keep them moist as it's taking on that kind of char into those kind of things like that. And that works out real well. You can do an IPA the same way if you want to. And just that, in that little mist bottle, it kind of transfers those beer flavors to the fruit, even though it's, or to the vegetables, even though it's charring. And it takes on this kind of wonderful flavor. So whenever you pair the same beer with that vegetable, there's a harmony that you don't get any other way.
Well, guys, you know what?
That's
right. We have reached the end of episode 7.
Hey, let's do another one. You all want to?
I think we should. I think we owe it to our audience, which, by the way, we're really appreciative. They have been very loyal. We've been averaging 100 plays per episode. We'd like to make that go up. Maybe 150?
50,000.
Yeah, let's shoot for 50,000. You guys cool with that?
Spread the word, guys. Let's get it rocking.
Let's get a bunch of retweets and reposts there.
Yeah, seriously. Everything that you guys can, just tell anyone that you know about it. If you see someone walking down the street, it looks like they even remotely like beer, just be like, hey, pause those podcasts.
Trade those panhandler signs for podcast signs.
Yeah,
we'll take it.
That's what we need to do. We need to hire those guys. All right. Thank you guys for listening. It has been episode 7, Pause Those Podcasts. We will see you again later.